Will you turn with me once again to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 15? And you will find the words for our text this evening in verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now we see here something that is very interesting and something that is very challenging for every one of us. We see that the people here drew near to listen to what Christ had to say. We know that there were many during the public ministry of Christ who were there to see the miracles. We know that because of what the Lord says in John's Gospel. He said to them about them not being there for any other reason but for the fact that they had been given bread and that they had seen wonders. But here we have the people coming to hear what he has to say. Why do people come to hear what Christ has to say? It's a great question, isn't it? Why would men and women give up their time? Give up their busy schedules, perhaps we would say, to hear what Christ has to say? Well, it is the same perhaps we could ask ourselves tonight. Why are we here? Why have we, in a sense, given up our Saturday evening to come to this service? Is it because it's the done thing? Is it because it is expected of us? Have we come with a desire that God would speak to us, that we may be blessed? Or have we come to hear what Jesus Christ will say? We must answer this question for ourselves. Have we a desire to be taught by Christ? Have we a real desire to understand the glorious gospel of Christ? Or are we here for some other reason? Because we see that not only were the publicans and sinners there to hear him, but there were others there also. And they were there not with the same motive. They came not to hear what Christ had to say, but they came to criticize his words and actions. We must ask ourselves then, for what reason are we here on a Saturday evening of a communion season? Because these Pharisees and scribes, in their murmuring and in their complaining, they spoke a great truth. A great truth. Jesus Christ receives sinners and he eats with them. And that's what I want to think about for a few moments this evening, as the Lord will enable us. I want to think, first of all, that they spoke here the gospel truth. And then secondly, they spoke a despised truth. And thirdly, they spoke a great comforting truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. First of all, then, it is the gospel truth. And yet it was spoken in a far from God-honoring way. The first thing we notice is that they tell us who Christ has come to deal with. What are the qualifications to have dealings with Christ? Now you might say, well, we don't believe in qualifications. I think we do. And I think our communion season is very much a time when we set up qualifications for dealing with Jesus Christ. Is it not a time when we search ourselves? We look for what we call marks of grace. What are we looking for there? We're looking for things that are what we would say qualify us to be enabled to have dealings with Christ. We're looking for perhaps qualities in our lives, in these marks of grace. What are the qualifications then for having dealings with Christ? Well, we're told, you must be a sinner. That's what you must be. That's the qualification to have dealings with Christ. Now, how often do we not turn this on our head when we are searching our own hearts and we are looking for marks of grace and we are saying, am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? If I am a Christian, I'll have this in my life or I'll have that in my life. Rather than acknowledging this great gospel truth that Christ receives sinners. It is with sinners that Christ deals with. Sinners are those who are guilty in the sight of God. They are guilty originally, aren't they? We're not guilty because we sin. We are guilty through original sin. The guilt of Adam's first transgression is ours by our nature. A fallen nature we have. And the more we know ourselves, the more we see how despicable and how disgusting that fallen nature really is. Guilty. Originally, we're guilty by our works. The psalmist could say, it's a psalm we know well, isn't it? Psalm 130. Who shall stand, he says, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? Who shall stand? Shall any of us stand before Christ tonight and say, yes, I can stand there on my own merits? No. It is with sinners that Christ deals with. It is with those who are lost in themselves. Isn't this the great beauty of that parable we read about the prodigal son? He came to realize what he was. He was lost. He was lost. We all need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior that we need. He came to deal with sinners, and it is the great gospel foundational truth. And here, friend, tonight, if you're looking for a qualification, whether you can have dealings with Christ, here is what you must ask yourself. Am I a sinner? Do I believe that I am a sinner? And being a sinner, do I believe that I am lost and I cannot save myself? Because we notice not only the type or the qualifications of the people that Christ deals with in the gospel, but we notice also how he deals with them. He receives them. He receives them. It's not the way with us, is it? When we discover something about somebody we know, perhaps some serious sin, we avoid them like the plague. We avoid them. We shun their company. But Christ receives sinners. He takes them to himself. Now the Pharisees just couldn't understand this. They couldn't understand that if he really was the Son of God, why would he spend his time with these people who are sinners? He receives them to himself. He doesn't receive them and say, like some perhaps famous person or some king or some ruler or sometimes, you know how we live in a day and age where celebrities like to be seen to be charitable. And they like to bring in perhaps some poor people and they say, well, you can sit over there. No. Christ says to sinners, he says, where I sit, you will sit. He receives them to himself. They have free access to the Lord of glory. It's not one of his servants that he sends to be with them. No, he receives them to himself. And friends, not only notice this, that he receives them, but he delights to receive them. And you know, it is perhaps the greatest of all the gospel truth, is that Christ delights to receive sinners. Oh, are you sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know, I agreed with you so far, but you've gone too far. You've gone too far. That's not what the gospel says. Oh, yes, it is. Because we're told not only does he receive sinners, but he eats with them. He feasts with them. They are the ones whom he delights to be with. Isn't this the way we are? Perhaps in our busy lives, we spend time with people, perhaps in our duties. Duties require us to perhaps spend time with people. But it is those who are closest to us. It is those that we love. It is those that we delight in who sit around our table and eat with us. And so it is with Christ. He delights to have the company of sinners. He receives them and he eats with them. And isn't this what we will see tomorrow if we're spared? We won't see good people sitting at the Lord's table. That's what we think, isn't it? No. If we're spared to see tomorrow and the Lord's table, we will see sinners feasting with Christ at His table. The greatest gospel truth: this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, friend, how does this gospel truth hang with you tonight? Are you comfortable with it? Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Have you always perhaps imagined that the gospel in Christ is not for you because you're not qualified to be a partaker of Christ's provision? Has Christ received you? Has He received you? He will not receive you unless you will come to Him. You must come to Him. As He offers you in the gospel, "Come unto Me," He says, "all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The great gospel truth of Christ: this man receiveth sinners. What a truth for a communion season. What a truth for a Sabbath day. What a truth for needy sinners. Christ receives them. Have you been received by Christ? Have you come to Him? He will receive all those that come to Him. "Whosoever cometh unto Me," He says, "I will in no wise cast them out." No wise. The great gospel truth of Christ. Secondly, we notice that it is a despised truth. Despised. We notice first of all who despises it. It is the Pharisee and the scribe. The ordinary people, they didn't despise this truth. The people who were aware of what they were. The ordinary people, we would say, as we read here in verse 1, they drew near unto Him. All the publicans and sinners. That little word, "all," it describes, doesn't it, for us that there were many there. But there are some, you know, they despise this truth. And they are the Pharisees and scribes. And how do they despise it? How do they despise it? Do they stand up and complain and say, "No, they don't"? Do they? They murmur. That's what Scripture says. They murmur, they complain. You can imagine the Pharisees and scribes there. Let us paint a picture, can't we? We can paint a picture that Scripture paints for us to help us understand what's going on. We can understand the Pharisees. There they are, grouped together. And they're whispering to one another. And they're pointing. And they're saying to one another, "Look at what's going on over there. Just have a look at that. Would you credit it? This man Christ, look at the company he's keeping." But they don't go and challenge the Lord of glory, do they? No. They murmur to themselves. The It's not the picture here that is drawn for us of these Pharisees complaining, talking one to another. Isn't that the way we are as sinners? How often we whisper to one another and say, look at that, look at what's going on over there. Isn't that a terrible carry on, that? Why did they murmur? Ah, you see, they just couldn't understand why God would have anything to do with sinners. You see, they were such good people themselves in their own eyes. You see, the Pharisees had a great upbringing. Great upbringing. They were of good stock, you know. They weren't like these common people who had no religious people in their lives, who had no religious authority. Oh no, the Pharisees, you see, they were those who had been brought up strictly according to what the law said. Is that true? Well, it's not really. That's the impression we get. They were brought up strictly according to their own religion, but not according to what Scripture said. It was their own standards and their own religion that was important to the Pharisees. And that religion was, be good, and God will favor you. Be good, and God will favor you. Keep the word of God outwardly, and God will look well upon you. This was the religion of the Pharisee. It was all outward ceremonials. It was all about doing. It was all about keeping. And it was nothing to do with the state of the heart. Nothing whatsoever. They saw themselves as good and religious. And the last thing they would consider themselves to be was sinners. The last thing. Well, they were good. And they despised this truth that Christ receives sinners. Well, friend, what about yourself? Are you a Pharisee? Ah, you might say, what right have you to say to me that I might be a Pharisee? Well, it is true, friends. We don't like the truth about ourselves. But it is not a minister's job to tell people what they like. It is not of a minister's calling to tell people only what they will like to hear. Are you a Pharisee? Do you consider that you have no need for Christ? That you are just as good, if not better, than those who will sit at the Lord's table? Then you have the spirit of the Pharisee. The spirit of the Pharisee. And it manifests itself in despising the truth of Christ. But there's another reason why they despised the truth of Christ. And it was that they despised Christ Himself. Not only was it that they didn't like the truth about Him, they didn't like Christ. This is what comes out very clearly, isn't it? This man, they say. That was their estimation of Christ. He's just a man. He's just like me. I'm equal with him. I'm as good as him. I'm as commendable in God's sight as he is. This man, they said. They didn't call him master. They didn't see that he was higher than they were. They didn't call him Lord. No, this man. He didn't approve of them, you see. And as far as they were concerned, he was just an ordinary man. Someone that you could just forget about. Someone who was an irrelevance to them. They had no desire for Christ. And they had no desire to have company with these sinners that Christ had company with. Oh, it's a solemn thought, isn't it? It's a solemn thought that where the gospel is preached, there could be those who have the spirit of the Pharisee. And not only do they despise the gospel that is preached, but they despise the Christ himself. Oh, beware, friend. If you have the spirit of the Pharisee, beware. You may despise the truth of Christ, but you cannot change it. You cannot change it. And this Christ that you despise is the Christ that you will deal with on the great day of judgment. But then thirdly, we see that we have in the words of our text the comforting truth of Christ. And it is a comforting truth to sinners. Because we're told that in that gathering there were many sinners, and they were there to hear him. Now, it's not comfortable to be a sinner, is it? It's not something that we enjoy, self-examination. And that's why I suppose today we are not so good at it as former generations were. And we're not so good at examining ourselves and seeing the sin in ourselves, because it makes us very uneasy about the way that we are. We would far rather, when we examine ourselves, see things in us that commend us to God. Perhaps some work that we have done, or perhaps some great effort we have sought for the glory of Christ. But when we examine ourselves, how often we see sin. And I think especially at a communion season, we see the vilest of sins in our hearts. You know, very often we imagine that sin is what we do and what we say. But you know, the place where we sin the most, it's in our thoughts. It's in our thoughts. How often our thoughts are those thoughts that trouble us greatly. that we, of course, go to great lengths to cover up what we do. And I suppose the older we get, the more adept we become at that kind of thing. And we also get very clever at covering the things that we say. We can get good at saying things in a generous manner, so people won't be concerned about what we say. But we can't cover our thoughts, can we? We can't gloss our thoughts. Isn't that a common saying? We put a gloss on it. The idea is covering them over. No, our thoughts are there before us in all their ugliness. And yet, is there a truth that comforts the sinner more than the fact that Christ receives them? Is there a more comforting truth for you tonight, friend, than that Christ receives sinners? That He takes you as you are, in all your unworthiness, with all your lack of commendableness unto God, with the fact that you have nothing to offer to Him. And He will take you as you are. For this man receiveth sinners. Are you here tonight under a burden of sin? Are you here tonight saying to yourself, I am unworthy to sit at the Lord's table? Well, if you're waiting until you become worthy, it'll never happen, because you'll never be worthy. But the great comfort that is there for the sinner tonight is that Christ receives them. He receives sinners. He takes them to Himself. Not only does He teach them. Yes, He teaches them. And we know that the lessons that the sinner must learn in the school of Christ are sometimes hard lessons to learn. Not only does He rule over them, and He must. If we are received by Christ, He is our Lord. He is the one who has the right to command us. He is the one who has the right to tell us how to live. He is the one who has the right to claim our time and to claim everything about us. Not only does He teach, not only does He command, but He dwells with those He receives. He dwells with them. This is what we see here. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Great comfort for the sinner tonight. Great comfort for the child of God who sees himself as a poor, needy sinner. Isn't it one of our enemy's favorite tactics to say to the child of God, you're not fit to be in His company? And as these enemies of Christ, the Pharisees, spoke the truth, so does our great enemy. We are not fit. But we're not fit. And we're not with Christ because we are fit to be with Christ. But we're with Christ because He receives sinners. He receives them. And He eats with them. And this is what we see in the Gospel feast, isn't it? And it is particularly, I suppose, brought before us, brought before our eyes in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Surely this is the prayer of every one of the Lord's people, that He Himself would meet with them at the table. Very often, isn't it, the case that as we prepare for sitting at the Lord's table, we think about ourselves going to the table. And we can perhaps become overcome by these thoughts. But is it our great concern tonight? Is it our great desire tonight that Christ Himself would be at the table? That He would eat with them. That He would be there. Oh, are you struggling tonight? Are you struggling? There's great comfort here for the struggling Christian. Great comfort. Christ receives sinners and He eats with them. And that is what happens at the Lord's table. He there meets with His own. And He eats with them. And the comfort and the encouragement is for you to come confessing your sins and to seek Christ's presence. That is the encouragement for the Lord's people. That is the comforting truth that we have here before us. We are to come confessing our sins. Not leaning on ourselves or on our worthiness. But leaning on Christ. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, what a truth! Is there a greater truth this night? Is there anything else that would be of greater comfort to you this night than to know for yourself that He receives you and He will eat with you where He is appointed to meet with you in His Word and in His sacrament? It says to us, His desire. We have that brought out in the Gospel, don't we? Where He says, with desire I have desired to eat with you. We know that that was on the eve, just before He was to offer up Himself. That great work of atonement. And yet we see there, His desire was to meet with His own and to eat with them. His desire was towards His people. And so it is tonight, friend. Christian friend, you are to be encouraged by this great truth of Scripture. You are to be encouraged to come as you are to Christ with your sins, to confess your sins and to come unto Him who receives sinners and eateth with them. Well, may the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. O gracious and ever blessed God, we give Thee praise and thanks this night for Thy word of truth. Oh, what a comfort it is to Thy people, that it is for sinners that Christ has died, and it is for sinners that He invites to come to Him, and they will be received. O Lord, we pray, that thou wilt grant us that grace to do so, to draw near to thee, and that thou wilt give us that renewed desire for thy presence with us. We pray that thou wilt continue with us, that thou wilt accept us in the Beloved, and pardon all our sins for Christ's sake. Amen.